Would we live, love, and give differently if we knew that God was going to provide for all of our needs? Would we live, love, and give differently if we knew, my God shall supply all of our needs from his riches in glory in Christ Jesus? All of our needs. And I literally think it breaks the heart of God that reason says what you see is all there is. Science says what you see is all there is. And God says, I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think, according to the power that works within you. And you know what that power is? It's faith. And you know what the enemy of faith is? It's fear. Over 100 times in Scripture, it says, fear not.
Amen.
And you know what it usually says when it says, fear not? He says, for I am with you. The God, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, even to the end of the age. So his presence and his provision are close together. So basically, all I did in this book was take those four things. And when he took the bread and fish, I'm going to use that example, that's what's used in the book. It says he looked to heaven. So sometimes God deals us a hand. And we, you know what we look at? We look at the hand. And sometimes I look at hands I've been dealt and said, I want to throw this hand back in. Have you ever felt that way? But Jesus took this bread and this fish, and he didn't look at the 15,000 people. He looked up. And you have the number of times in Scripture where it says to look up, like Nebuchadnezzar, who was like an animal. And I raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. In the Psalm it says, I lifted my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Yeah, I was doing a little research on sheep. My wife and I, Lisa, we take our dog for a walk over in this park near us. And so there was this group of goats. And I went up to this guy, he's a goat herd. And I said, the goat were eating all this brush, underbrush and all that stuff. So I said, can I just ask you what the difference is between a goat and a sheep? And he says, you know what it is? He says, goats always have their heads up. They're eating from branches. They're looking up. Sheep will always have their heads down. And he says, I've seen a sheep where 5 feet away, a sheep's getting killed by a predator. And the sheep's just down there. But what does Jesus say? In Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats are separated. And I thought, Why does he make us, why are we like sheep? The scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the thing I came up with is the sheep need a shepherd. And these sheep, they have rectangular eyeballs, and they're on the side of their, not eyeballs, pupils. And so a sheep, if a sheep is looking this way, it can see everything behind them. So a sheep has panoramic vision. If you're a sheep, you've got outstanding vision. People think sheep have bad vision. They only have bad vision when they look down. When they look up, they can see everything. They have a gift of vision. But you know what we do as Christians? We keep our heads down. We keep looking at the hand. We keep focusing on our circumstances instead of looking up. And so these four things were capacity that Jesus took those loaves and fish and knew that there was more there than what he saw. Just like with the viper venom or the sea urchins are being used to treat Alzheimer's. God has hidden so much provision for us in his creation. The second step is consecration. he blessed the food. He invited God in. And in the book, I talk about the secularization that is so predominant in our society today. And secularization is pushing God out of our schools, pushing God out of our businesses. You can feel it every day, can't you?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Can't you?
Yes.
This pushing of God out. We don't want God in. Consecration is setting something apart for him to make it holy. It's inviting him in. But it's not just inviting him into the good parts of our life. All of us are struggling with something. And it's saying, Lord, I've got this issue. I've got this need. Will you come in? And I've seen it happen in business today. A company Gary and I worked for, another Christian guy, he and I, for every Sunday, we would get together before we bought this company. And we said, Lord, for your glory, we pray that you'll do something with this. If you want this to go to heaven, we're inviting you in. And that company with 40 people in Atlanta grew to be the second largest in the U.S. in its industry. And today it's the third largest in the world. To me, it's not a coincidence that when you invite God in, something happens.